الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما نحل والد ولدا من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق لرسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my beloved brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who through his infinite mercy has given us this great day of Yawmul Jumu'ah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever ibadah we make, and whatever du'as we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. And if it's not meant to be accepted, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better, inshallah. Ameen. My respected brothers, through the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lifetime has blessed us with many gifts, physically and spiritually. By way of spirituality, there can be no other gift better than the gift of Iman. And truth be told, the greatness, the power, the end result of this gift of Iman is something that we will only witness its full potential when these eyes of ours close and we meet our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us live a life of proper Iman. Let us die with that kalima, and inshaAllah on the day of Qiyamah, by virtue of this kalima, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the highest stages of Jannah, inshaAllah. Ameen. Physically, my respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the gift of health. Imam Shafi'i rahimahumullah used to say that the health is such a thing, that health is a crown worn by the healthy, yet only seen by the sickly. What a beautiful statement. Health is a crown worn by the healthy, yet only seen by the sickly. So this is a great ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we make the highest form of value in our life, we make it cash. But if I had to tell you, I'll give you $1 million, but you have to die now, what would we choose? $1 million or death? No, we'll choose life. If I had to tell you, I'll give you $1 million, but you have to be sick for the rest of your life, what would we choose? We would choose health. So these are bounties and many more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Yet we have become such that we underrate them. We don't consider them as bounties because our eyes are bigger and looking elsewhere. So important, my respected elders and brothers, that this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great upon us. And so many gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, we really, really don't acknowledge it constantly. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, that whatever bounties Allah has blessed us with, whatever it may be, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless us with these bounties and give us the ability to be grateful for every bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Inshallah, ameen. My beloved brothers, from amongst the many gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, one such gift that Allah has given us is the gift of children. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the children or kids, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word wahaba. Now wahab or wahaba means an unexpected gift. An unexpected gift. How many a times a couple, when they married, they don't expect to have children. Then all of a sudden, they get the news that the wife is expecting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions it. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ ذُكُورٌ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانٌ وَإِنَاثًا. Allah says, there are some people whom we gift them with this unexpected gift, but we give it to them. We give them male offspring. Some of them we give them only female offspring. Some of them we give them both. And some of them we give them nothing at all. in the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he makes dua and he says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, bless me with pious children. So this indeed is a great gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the point is that every child Allah gives us with is definitely a great ni'mat from His side, irrespective of the gender of that child, irrespective of the color of that child, irrespective of the looks of that child, irrespective of the ability of that child. But as in life, my respected elders and brothers, everything, there is a test upon us. The shoes that we wear is a test upon us. You can use that very same shoe to walk towards good, or you can use that very same shoe to walk towards evil. You can use that shoe to walk to the masjid, or you can use that shoe to walk past the masjid into some club. Every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is a test upon us, whether it be the most expensive car or the cheapest of cars. Each one can be used either to do good or to do bad. Likewise, every person that passes your life, in fact, ulama mentions, even a person who passes your pathway is a test upon you. You either do good or you do bad. This is life. This is the system. So just as how children are a blessing and a ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they too can also be a test upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ. Indeed, your wealth and your children, they are a test upon you, teaching us that not only are we responsible and answerable for them, my respected elders and brothers, but this very same child can be a means of a person, of a parent entering into Jannah or a parent entering into the fire of Jahannam. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, that every one of you, you are a shepherd unto your flock. Your flock refers to your children, your family. وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْعُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, and every one of you will be questioned regarding your flock. So this hadith is a very, very heavy hadith because it outlines something very, very important to us. And that is our responsibility. It outlines how much responsibility we have upon our shoulders when it comes to nurturing and taking care of these children. And especially in this day and age, my respected elders and brothers, as we move closer and edge closer to the day, end of days, the signs of Qiyamah are upon us, and we move closer towards the end of this world, you will see at every corner, there's an evil shaitani head popping up with one objective only, to destroy man. And how does it start? It starts off by capturing and captivating the minds of our children. Now, this is a vast subtopic on its own, but I just want to highlight something to you. Now, you know, one way by which shaitan captures the mind of our children is through gaming, or as the elderly would know it, video games. That's how we know it, video games. They'll call it gaming, but we know it as video games. Now, I want to share with you an article that I came across recently in my research of this topic. And there was a sudden spike in adult diapers. There was a sudden spike in adult diapers. So this morning I was sharing this information with my family. So I'm telling her that, you know, I was doing this research and I came across this article, and there's a spike in adult diapers. So she said, shame. And I said the same. Because the first thing that the mind went to, that people are getting sick. But the adult diapers are not for adults. There's a spike in adult diaper sales because parents are buying it for their children who are gaming. Why? Because nowadays, in today's time, in our days, you know, you put one 20 cents and you play one game, that's it, finish and clear. But in today's games, which are now online games, where they have campaigns, where you are playing with people from different parts of the world. You can make up a team with people comprising someone from Australia, someone from England, someone from India, and you from South Africa. And because these online games have become such that once it starts, it's very hard to pause that game. In our days, if your mom called you, you pause the game, you run to the kitchen, you see what's the story. But in today's time, there's no pause in these online games. As a result of which, the children are so caught up that even to visit the bathroom has become difficulty, hence adult diapers, which are now termed as gaming diapers. And if you don't believe me, go and look for it. See the funky colors that these diapers come up. Adult diapers. I came across another article. In this recent war with Afghanistan, where the Taliban stood firm and was a force of resistance against the enemy, they called in a gaming company. Now one would think, what does a gaming company have to do with war? So this person who is part of this gaming company, he mentions and he says, we were called by none other than the Pentagon itself, the Pentagon. They called us and they told us this is the problem. What was the problem? They said in a certain village in Afghanistan, the young adults, 90% of them were enlisting to be a part of the Taliban and to be a resistance against the enemies. So they needed to develop something that will take them out. I'm talking young adults. So they said they got a group of children and they developed a game. They put them in this room and as soon as they got bored, they walked away. So what they would do, they would go back to the game, restructure it until such a point where the children were captivated for hours on end. And he says, with that, from a 90% intake of young adults wanting to fight for the pleasure of Allah, we dropped it down to below 40%. Now, this is just one example by which our children's minds are being radically changed and captivated. And we as parents, unknowingly, we feed this objective of fitna. Unknowingly. We don't look at it because we understand. I mean, you go buy one PlayStation, are you playing? You buy it for your child. Why? Because it's love. As a parent, we don't do for our children because of obligation. We do for our children because of love. And that love is a natural thing that comes to us. Allah Ta'ala has placed this love in the hearts of the parent. It's such a love that has no equivalent to it. To such an extent, my respected brothers, safely I can say, without a shadow of doubt, you being a parent, you will agree with me. Our love for our children is so intense that we are willing to give our wealth, we are willing to give our time, our life, and even our organs for the betterment of that child of ours. When the son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ibrahim radiallahu an, had passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was crying. So the Sahaba radiallahu an, when they saw this, they were shocked. They said, oh Nabi of Allah, you crying, a Nabi of Allah? Meaning, not finding fault with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in the sense that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who taught and teaches us that this world is something that we have to leave it. We're going to leave it. And our real life is the hereafter. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ, that the eyes will cry and the heart will naturally find grief. That even if you, no matter who you are, we would do anything for our child, anything under the sun, to such an extent that even in death, we are willing to swap places for our own child. So this is something that comes naturally to us. And just as how we would do anything to give our children, in the very same manner, my respected brothers, I'm sure you'll agree, We would do anything to protect our children. So listen to me when I tell you, we are responsible for these kids of ours, every single one of us. It is the duty of every Muslim father, every grandfather, Nana or Dada, Nani or Dadi, grandmother, mother. It is the duty of every Muslim to ensure that that child, that gift, that ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is grown up correctly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and he said, مَا نَحَلَ وَالِدٌ وَلَدًا مِنْ نَحْلٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ عَدَبٍ حَسَنٍ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. That there is no gift more beautiful, no gift more better than that a parent can give his or her child better than good character and good adab and etiquette. This hadith here shows us that prioritizing upbringing of our children is not a parental responsibility only. It is also a religious responsibility. It's not just about growing it up, not growing it up, growing them up. It's a religious responsibility to make sure we grow them up properly. It is our duty, my respected brothers, to develop them with good Islamic skills. It's our duty to promote, teach them and to promote tolerance. It is our duty to teach them critical thinking. It is our duty to teach them problem solving. It is our duty to help them develop and have good manners, to embed within them Islamic responsibility, because this is our job and so much more. Till today, how many of us can say we have accomplished that? As parents, can we say we have accomplished that? I always tell the kids that I teach that there's no greater gift you can give your mother and father better than performing their janazah. Because that janazah will come with love. Nothing would be better than that parent to know that my janazah was performed by my son. Nothing can be better. So till today, can you and I safely say we've accomplished that? That is why, my respected brothers, this is one thing we can never match. We will never ever match the basirat and the foresight of our elders. Never. You know, on one occasion, I went to perform a nikah. So, in that nikah, the nikah got done and I started making dua. So in that dua, I made dua for the couple and I also made dua for those who have passed away. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, etc. So after some time, a friend of mine in the masjid over there, he came to greet me. I never seen him for some time. So he's talking to me and he says, hey, Molana, jokingly. He says, Molana, what's happening, man? You're making dua for the man's nikah plus you're making dua for the, I'm going to use slang. You're making dua for the man's nikah plus you're making dua for the dead oaths. Now, I didn't have time to elaborate, but I want to share with you. Wallah, my respected brothers, if our founding fathers were not firm on deen, and if they did not establish deen, then today you and I, issues like nikah and all these things of salah, we would be far away from it. It is because of them that today you and I can practice on deen correctly. That is why our founding fathers in South Africa, the first thing they did when they reached the shores, is they established a madrasa, they established a masjid, and in it, they established a madrasa. And that worry and concern of the madrasa is the reason why for centuries there has been a preservation of deen. For hundreds of years, there's been a preservation of deen in our own country. It is because of them. Yet today, we as parents are contributing towards this downfall of this extremely important pillar of our community. I know, you know, it might sound harsh, But we have to understand the dilemma we're going to put our children in the generations to come. You and I have benefited from the seed sown by our forefathers that today, alhamdulillah, we know about our deen. Let's not become that type of parent for the future of generations to come. We become negligent, and a time will come where not one of our children will know anything about deen. These ideas and concepts of good akhlaq, Islamic identity, understanding to read Quran, knowing the laws of salah, etc., have been placed on the shoulders for centuries, on the shoulders of the ulama and apas of the various makatib. It has been their sole duty and responsibility to ensure your child gets the best of education of deen. Yet today, we are the ones that are destroying it, not by not funding it. We are destroying the structure by not sending our children to the madrasas. We are responsible for it. Not anyone else, not Mossad, not CIA, not FBI, you and I. We are destroying the makatib system by not sending our children at all. I want to read to you something. Generally, at the tender age of 6, a child goes to school. They enrolled in school. And his schooling career lasts a whole of 12 years. At 190 days in a year and 7 hours a day, this equates to almost 16,000 hours spent at school. 16,000 hours spent at school. And all this time a child spends at school is for what? What is the objective of the child going to school? Do we not tell our children that go to school, you'll get a career, and because of that, you'll be able to drive a nice car, you'll be able to have a nice house, you'll be able to go for holiday here and there and everywhere. So we are willing to put everything, 16,000 hours spent, just so that one day that child can drive a nice car, can have a nice house, can have a nice job and get money. Only for this dunya. Yet if you compare madrasa, same amount of days, 190 days in a year, but the maktab is only 2 hours in the afternoon and only till grade 7. And that too, it's barakat if the child comes full all the time. You'll get an amount of only 1,900 hours in which we have to teach that child everything of their deen that will help them in this world and even the hereafter. Can you see the comparison? I'm just like you, we also have kids. We also send them to school. But what are we doing about madrasa? Are we prioritizing it? Madrasas are already 2.5 weeks in now. And it's sad to say, so many makatibs that I've spoken to, what you hear, the lament from the ulama, our numbers are dropping. Our numbers are dropping. Who is responsible for that number? It's you. You as a father. How sad it has become that today we have given option of kicking a ball. We have given priority of kicking a ball more than the priority of deen and learning the kalam of Allah. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْتَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ. Allah says, you have beautified, we have beautified it. We have beautified children. But as a result of it, what do you want? مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِدَّةِ. You're running after that gold medal. You're running after that silver trophy. That's what we prioritize. My respected elders and brothers, my time is up. I want to share with you two things only. The first thing, there are three types of parents. And please forgive me, I hope I'm not being harsh, but this is a reality, this is a concern. There are three types of parents. You need to decide which one do you belong to. You have the first type of parent who has been through the maktab system, who understands the importance of the maktab system, hence is sending their children to that madrasa. You have the second type of parent who had never had that opportunity to go to madrasa, but understands the importance and is sending their child to that madrasa. And you have the third one who just simply doesn't care. You need to decide which one you belong to. Remember, a child can be born a Muslim. A child can be born a Muslim, but a child cannot be born a Jannati. A child cannot be born a Jannati. Jannah is earned. You have to decide, what are you earning with your children? Are you earning only dunya, or do you want to make a difference to your child? That when you are 6 feet beneath that ground, that doctor's certificate won't do anything, but that dua, that qul huwallahu ahad, that one alif lam meem is giving you peace in that qabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what we are doing and how we are destroying our community. And may Allah protect our children from every evil. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to send our children to the makatib. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallah bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.